Congregation Church, good to see all your beautiful faces today. And we are grateful to God. As you all know, we are in the series of Nobody's Fool, amen?
Amen.
We've been dealing this series for a while with relationships, and I'm hoping that you're growing and it's challenging you in your relationships. Amen, amen. So if you can, please stand real quick for reading of the scripture real quick. Proverbs 5, verse 21 through 23. And it says this: "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray." Amen. Amen. If you don't mind, help me announce my text today. It's called Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. For those that don't know, I don't know, I'm an 80s baby, so I don't know where y'all at, but it was a movie called Fatal Attraction. I don't know if y'all seen that. It came out in 1987, starring Michael Douglas and a lady named Glenn Close. And in this movie, Michael Douglas is he works in New York, big-time lawyer, making a lot of money. He's married, he has a wife and a daughter, living a good life. And then the wife, she goes on a trip. At least she goes to see her mother-in-law, takes the child with her. They're gone for the weekend. So Mike, I'm a good, hard-working man. I'm going to go out. I'm going to step out tonight. I'm just going to have a good time, go to a little dinner and a little bar or whatever. And he sees this woman. And this woman sees him, they begin talking, and she looks, she knows that he's married. So they go ahead and they say, "You know what, we're going to go hook up," and they have sex all weekend. Wife's gone with the daughter out of town, they're together all weekend. And they're having a good time, but now Mike ready to get back home to his family. So she under the pretense that we're going to be together, but now he's trying to get back to his regular life. So now this woman, she feels betrayed and misused, even though she knew he was a married man. She feels mistreated and betrayed and abused and all these things. And now she has no consequences. She's ready to do whatever she can to get this man. Don't care about his family, his daughter, who she hurt. She's willing to do whatever she can. And I have a sneaky suspicion as your pastor that some of us, married or not married, have been caught up in some fatal attractions. Yeah, yeah. Either you were the one sneaking and creeping and doing your thing, or you were the one being lied to and that person was just flying by you, but you've been getting caught up and some sneaky and some fatal attractions. And I remember Della Reese on one of my favorite movies, Thin Line Between Love and Hate. And she said, "Darnell, be careful. Because a night full of passion can cause you a lifetime full of pain." Amen. Somebody see that movie? Amen. So I believe we got caught up in some fatal attractions. And it's crazy because we want to get satisfied so bad that we get caught up in the moment and don't think about no consequences. We want it so bad, and my job as a pastor to help you, myself, and everyone so we don't fall up in no fatal attractions, y'all. Let's look at what our nation's statistics are when it comes to infidelity. I got this from Divorce Magazine, and this is what it says on the screen. The experts at Divorce Magazine note that about 45 to 50% of married women and 50 to 60% of married men cheat on their spouses. According to the American Psychological Association, infidelity in the United States accounted for 20 to 40% of all divorces. Those are some alarming numbers. Remember, my job as a pastor is never to beat you up, but to pick you up. I'm here to help you and dust you off. So if you messed up and now you're trying to get your marriage back together, I'm here for you. If you messed up and now you're about to get married again, you don't want to make the same mistakes, I'm here for you. We're here to help you, not beat you up, but pick you up and help you to be whatever God has called you to be. Amen.
Amen.
And I can't front. I hope I can do everything today. I don't know, because there's so much. I got to going and going on this message like I couldn't stop. It was just so much. So I'm sure I'll revisit it later. But Proverbs 5 through 7 is probably the coldest piece ever written on adultery. The Bible has some strong language in there, and it deals with so much. And I'm only going to deal with chapter 5 today, but chapter 5 through 7, if you read it in your spare time, it's some cold-blooded stuff written on adultery in those. But I want to make sure we have the definition of adultery before we get started, all right? So what is adultery? It's when someone who is married has a sexual relationship with someone other than their spouse. That's the definition of adultery. So God must have thought adultery was important, amen? Because why he made it is one of his 10 commandments. So a single person could be committing fornication because they're not married. But if they're having sex with someone that is married, then they're actually committing adultery. So God said, "You know what? Adultery is going to be one of my 10 commandments I want you to follow."
So why did God put adultery in the Ten Commandments? God gave this commandment to protect the love and the joy of marriage. Okay, here are four things for my note takers. If you want to write this down and take a picture, here are four things it protects real quick if you marriage. For one, adultery protects your marriage. Not having adultery protects your marriage. It keeps your marriage whole. What else does it do? It protects your body. It keeps you away from getting STDs and other things, unwanted things to your body. Also, it protects you psychologically, because once you get attached to someone physical, don't think your mind ain't gonna be messed up. Especially now, you married and that person on the other side of town and you at home with your spouse, amen? So don't think your mind's not gonna get messed up. Also, last on the list, it protects society. Can you imagine society if everyone was just sleeping with every white spouse? Yeah, we think the murder rate bad now, praise God, amen. There'd be a lot of people leaving up out of here if you could just do whatever you want to do. So we must understand that God gives this, gives us marriage. Why? To give glory to God. So the devil, y'all, you got to understand, he wants people to become so frustrated in your marriage and so displeased with the other person that he has the opportunity to get in between you with another person. Early in the series, I've spoken on the importance of waiting to have sex before you get married, waiting to keep yourself as a single. Now I'm into the marriage part of it. Why? Because I got to give you counsel of God. Remember, I'm a pastor, not a motivational speaker. And this ain't even Pastor George's philosophy. It's the Bible. Amen. It is the Bible. So if you don't agree with the Bible, new creation might not be the place for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're a Bible-believing church. The Bible dictates all what we preach and what we teach in here. So the world says it's okay to have sex before you marry. It's okay. Try before you buy is what the world tells us. It says you're an adult. You know what you're doing. You're an adult. You're grown. But it don't tell you how to deal with all those holes in your heart when you make mistakes. Amen. It don't tell you how to deal with those soul ties once you're caught up and now your mind is crazy. Right. It don't tell you how to react when someone sold you a dream and now you're raising kids by yourself. Yeah. It wants to tell you to go have sex, but it doesn't want to tell you about commitment. Amen. Let's look at what God says about adultery real quick. Leviticus 20 and verse 10, it says this. The man's Old Testament, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Wow. It's Old Testament. That's law. That's law. Obviously, we're not in the Old Testament no more. You can't just go around killing somebody because they cheated. Amen. You will go to jail. I didn't justify that. You will go to jail. The land's and law is clear. You commit murder, you will go to jail. But think about how serious God said this, that if you get caught sleeping with somebody, not only you, but both of y'all got to get put to death. Another Old Testament principle, God talks about kids. If kids are just bad and extra mannish and disrespectful and doing whatever they want to do, he said that child that is so bad and don't want to listen to nobody, y'all supposed to bring him among the community and stone him to death. Yeah. That bad child. He says two people that if you got a man and a man and a woman and a woman and they sleeping together, you're supposed to stone them to death. And while we can't do any of those things, because today, why we would go to jail, but that don't mean God changed how he feel about it. It don't mean they still don't break his heart. Right. So why would God tell us these things? Because they're serious to him. He put things in order to let us know how serious he is. So now we jump into Proverbs chapter 5. Look at this. Verse 1 and 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. This series is about not becoming a fool, especially in relationships. I don't want to be a fool. So what is wise? Wise is the opposite of being a fool. I don't want to be a fool. And I don't know about you, but I done some foolish things in my life. And I'm done being fooled and tricked by the devil. Amen. He done got me in enough situations and enough problems I can go back and think of. I don't want to deal with that no more. So I got to be wise in what I do. Look what the word says. We must pay attention to wisdom. If we learn to pay attention instead of talking too much, we'll be able to read situations. Yeah, sometimes we just talk too much. We go to the boyfriend house, says, I'm the girlfriend, I'm him, I'm her, yep, that's me. If you look around and start looking at the family, you're probably like, I do not want no kids in this family, praise God. They crazy, amen. I don't want to do none of them, amen. But we talk so much, we want to talk so much. Sit back and watch sometimes. Yeah. Look around you, observe. Amen. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom doesn't act too fast. Wisdom says, let me sit back and see what's going on. So he says that you may, what, preserve discretion. Discretion is use your common sense. Yeah, God bless us with common sense and a conscience. Use them. Wisdom's benefit is that it helps me and keeps me from unnecessary pain. Mm-hmm. So let's look at Proverbs 5. Look at verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That's deep right there. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But before I dig too deep in this, remember the Bible tends to talk to men most of the time. It talks to men, but some things are interchangeable. One is right here. But it trips me out because it says her mouth drips honey. Because I'm your pastor, check this out. I'm going to let you know. I'm not oblivious to this. Men cheat, but so do women. Yeah, praise God. The women quiet in here, but that's all good. Y'all cheat too, amen. That I know it's the men as dolls is what we like to think, but guess what? Women cheat too. It's just women don't get caught. Man, praise God. Somebody in the back heard me. See, the problem is with men, we dumb. We get caught. Got condoms in our pocket. We don't delete text messages, praise God.
Right, just
don't take a shower. Just come home. Just dumb. Sister, come home. Come home. Cook dinner. Got your meal ready. You don't know what happens. Everything's fine at home. But we gotta be careful because it says that her lips drip honey. And I don't know. I got a sweet tooth, baby. Man. I don't know if everybody likes sweets, but I got a light time. I got a sweet tooth, baby. Man. That made me think like, dang, her lips drip honey. I think everybody likes sweets to some point. And there's something sweet you think is good for you, but isn't really good for you. Her lips drip honey. That woman that's talking all that good stuff. That man that's whispering them sweet nuts in your ear. It drip honey. Bible said they're going to come through dripping. Drip, drip. Don't miss that. That her lips are going to come through dripping. Her words are going to be so sweet and flattery and flirting to you. Her words, his words are going to be smoother than oil. Be careful when people come flirting with you. You got to be mindful and watch, especially if you're married. If you see my ring, if you don't see my ring, okay, you made a mistake. Okay, you didn't see my ring, I got you. But if you see my ring, you know I'm married. That means you not only disrespecting me, but you disrespecting my spouse. You got to learn how to shut that stuff down, amen. I love it. I love it. Lady Thomas, she don't have anytime she come home, and the kids gonna tell you anyway. Daniel, but hey, this dude talking to mom and daddy. He gonna let me know. Drive through whatever. This dude talking to mama, but she always lets me know. And she's so saved, and she loved me so much. I love this. When people flirt with her, she get an attitude. If you marry, when somebody flirt with you, she get an attitude. What do you want? Don't you see my ring? Do you see who I'm with? What do you want? What is wrong with you? But we entertain stuff. We gotta quit entertaining because guess what? If you keep entertaining something, and somebody gonna say the right thing on the wrong day. Yeah. You keep smiling at his compliments, laughing at his jokes, kikiing and all that stuff. Then I'm at home, my husband ain't doing this, my husband ain't doing that. Now y'all crazy stuff going to lunch together. Now she's bringing you leftovers for lunch and all kind of crazy stuff. Just crazy. No, you gotta shut that stuff down. Married people and single people, listen, her lips drip honey. That is saying that the sin is going to feel good. Right. Yeah. If the devil tricks you into committing adultery or you're single and you just can't get enough of that person, guess what? He's going to make the sex better because of sin.
Wow.
Yeah. He wants Sister Girl to turn you out. Y'all think y'all don't believe me? Yeah. Anybody in here seen Harlem Nights? Y'all ain't seen Harlem Nights? Brother Richie got on the phone. He met on Sunshine, right? Brother Richie got on the phone. He made a phone call. His son answered the phone. He said, hey, put your mama on the phone. Mama got on the phone. He said, hey, baby, I'm just letting you know I ain't never coming home. Praise God. He got some of Sunshine and never want to come home before. The devil's plan is to get you so caught up and blow your mind with this sex that you don't even want to come home no more.
Wow.
To turn you out. You can't think rationally because the lips drip honey. Look at verse 4. Y'all crazy. They drip honey, but guess what he said? Look what the word says. But in the end. Somebody say, but in the end. She is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them.
Wow.
God is saying when you fall into this trap with this immoral woman or this immoral man that causes you to cheat, I know it was dripping honey, but it's bitter as wormwood. Wormwood is a shrub, and it's not only a shrub that tastes bitter. It says that it is the state and the source of bitterness and grief. Her feet go down to death and her steps lay hold of hell. This can be taken literally or hypothetically. Because all the time you mess with somebody's spouse, you could get killed. Praise God. Amen. It's not a joke. Amen. You could get killed. So you could die literally. But because people have committed adultery and they're not dead, it's not always literally. It's also hypothetically. Her feet could go down to death, which means that guess what? In your marriage, if you don't die to this thing, your marriage can become a living hell. Your marriage will end up dying. Your family life will end up dying. Look at what the Bible says. Look at this in verse 8. Remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labor goes to the house of a foreigner. Remove your feet far away from her. That means get out her house, her neighborhood, her DMs. Remove your feet far from away from her. You can't play with that stuff. It says, lest you give your honor to others. See, this is where we see the death at. Your honor to others. Your reputation has died. Wow. People who've seen you a certain way, their perception of you has now changed. Wow. Not that you didn't care what people, you shouldn't care what people think. I'm not saying you should be so consumed what people think, but somebody looking up to you. Whoever you are, somebody in your family, whether it's your kids, somebody is looking up to you and looking for your leadership skills. See, when people trust you, they look up to you.
That's good.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want to let nobody down. Amen. Yeah. I didn't let enough people down in the past. I don't want to let nobody down moving forward. Have you ever let someone down that was depending on you?
Right.
Wow. How did that make you feel? Does it hurt? Or maybe you was on the other, maybe you were let down by somebody. How did that feel? It hurts. It leaves sour taste in our mouth. So God is saying, don't give away your honor by doing this.
Yeah.
Verse 10. Lest aliens, which are strangers, be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. This is the death we experience on earth. I made up my mind that if a woman ever thinks she got a chance with me, I'm going to let her know you got your mind. First of all, baby. First thing I'm going to let her know. Second thing I'm going to let her know is, you can't afford me. You can't afford me. What does that mean? You can't afford me. Do you see how my wife loves me? How she trusts me? How my kids look at me knowing that I love their mama? How men in the church look at me and respect me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, the ladies too, and how I carry myself? Do you know how much I would have to pay in alimony and child support? Do you know what that would cost me? Do you know what happened if my children don't respect me no more because I don't they feel I didn't love their mama? Because you got a nice body? That's the reason? I'm supposed to leave all this because you got a nice body? I wish I had some people to say, you know what, you can't afford me, amen. I don't care who you think you are or what you got. The price too high over here. You can't afford me. I'm worth too much. Let me put some Bible on there. One particular passage in the Bible where adultery happened is David and Bathsheba. And I taught on this on when to get away with murder. If you missed it, go look at the podcast, when to get away with murder. But David is a man after God's own heart, y'all. And one day, David is sitting on top of the castle, walking around. He's looking, and he sees this girl outside taking a shower. Wasn't no indoor showers, I guess. She's outside, just in the bath, doing her thing. And the Bible says she was beautiful. David looked. David looked by mistake. Maybe he just walked in and caught her and said, dang, you know what I mean? But David should have turned around. David kept looking and looking and looking. He said, hey, go send for her. See who she is. Comes back to him. They said, hey, that's Bathsheba. She's married to Uriah. And at that point, it should have stopped.
Yeah.
But David said, go send for her for me. So David takes her and they go and they have sex and she gets pregnant and all this stuff and David is tripping. He didn't messed up, got his man's wife pregnant. He starts scheming, how can I get out of this? I gotta have this. I'm gonna go. He sleeps and kills her husband, does all kind of crazy stuff, all because his feet went down her steps. Think about that. And when judgment came to David, God said, okay, I'm gonna forgive you because you repented with all your heart, but the sword is never gonna leave your house. So David didn't die right there, but the sword never left his house. One of his sons, yeah, he raped his sister. Yeah, his own sister. Another son tried to kill him. Was after his kingdom, trying to kill him. Another son tried to kill his own brother so he can get the kingdom. The sword never left his house. One night caused David all kind of hell.
One night, wow.
How many of us wish we could get one night back? Amen. Just one night. If I get one night back. Pastor, I might not have kids, praise God. If I get one night back, I might not have none of them jokers. If I just get that one night back. So some of you, you got to listen. The Bible's giving us wisdom and instruction not to go do your own thing. Pastor, I just got to. My wife ain't it no more. She did not satisfy me no more. Pastor, I used to love him, but it's not attracting him no more. No, you got to be careful because the Bible is promising of these things. Yeah. Certain things are going to happen to you. Your honor, your wealth, all these things are going to happen if you choose to follow your own way. Let's look at verse 11. And you will mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Maybe you're not the only person they cheat with. Maybe you get caught up in that, you got an STD. Or maybe you get pregnant by them and they told you the dream, we're going to be together, we're going to live together. But now you're pregnant and he don't want his wife to know. So he wants you to go have an abortion. When your flesh and body are consumed. Once he's done sexing you and done with all that, now he wants his wife back. Or when she's done playing with you and you ain't her boy toy no more, now she wants her husband back and leaves you cold and dry. When your flesh and your body are consumed. Or y'all doing y'all thing and y'all married and y'all doing y'all thing. Y'all think y'all want to be together. Now both of y'all out creeping and cheating. And maybe you took somebody's husband or you took somebody's wife. And I got some news for you, because if they cheated on their ex with you just to get next to you, guess what? Their next ex is you. Praise God. I might have missed that. Amen. If they cheated on their ex with you to get next to you, guess what? Their next ex is you. I don't know why you think that's going to work out. Amen. If they sneaking and creeping to get you, why wouldn't they sneak and creep when they got you? When your flesh and body are consumed.
That's good.
When all that happens, look at verse 12. It's on the screen. It says this. And say, how I hated instructions. Yeah. And my heart despised correction.
Wow.
God said, you're going to be sorry. Yeah. Because you hated instructions. And your heart despised correction. Bloody Thomas touched on this. My prayer is every week that God give me a word that not only helps you, but convicts you.
Amen.
Not only helps you to be comfortable. I want you to be comfortable. I want it to convict you. Why? Because I want you to get to the point of change. So many times we feel convicted and we don't cross over to change. And God wants you to change, because what? Belief changes your behavior.
Yeah. Amen.
So God wants you to realize that we need him and he wants to give you his best. Let's look at verse 15 right here. Drink water from your own cistern and running waters from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. What he is saying is drink water from your own well, which is a cistern. Drink water from your own well, which is your own wife. You have running water at home. Be in your own kitchen. Why you in somebody else's kitchen? Your water work fine in your kitchen. Be in your kitchen. Amen. See, the problem is, I figured this out, that when we get married and we got a wife now, see, the problem is the water at home. See, the wife is like a 747. You know what a 747 is? 747 is an airplane. So my wife's like a 747. I gotta put gas in it. I gotta fill her up. I gotta take her down the runway. I gotta run down the runway with her. I gotta run down the runway. I gotta be nice to her. I gotta treat her a certain way. If I cook, I need to cook. I help her out with the kids. I gotta do all that because my wife is like a 747. But the immoral woman is like a helicopter. She just jump right on up. Y'all missed that, man. Helicopter just go straight on up. It just ain't no ashtray, no nothing. I get there, helicopter just whoo, helicopter goes straight on up. And I'm like, man, I like the helicopter. My wife provides too much. I like this helicopter I got right here. It just goes straight on up.
That's good. Wow.
But you gotta understand, the problem with the helicopter is that the relationship is built on deception and not reality.
Ah.
Yeah. See, a relationship has expectations. Yeah. You should never be in a relationship with anyone if they don't have any expectations. Because expectations mean we're in a real relationship.
Yeah, right.
If I can be with my family all day, come over to your house for 1 hour, have sex and leave like nothing happened, that means there's no expectations.
Right.
That means there's no real relationship right here.
Yeah.
Every relationship has to have expectations to succeed.
Yeah.
My God, I hope y'all feeling me on this. Every relationship has to have expectations to succeed. Maybe I kept you out. It starts with God.
Right.
See, God says this: I'm gonna take care of you. You worship me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna feed you. You pray to me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna help you with everything. You make sure you give me everything, and I'm gonna take care of you. Do you understand the goals of this relationship? You ain't just gonna hit it and quit it.
Right. Man,
this God saying that to you. That we got a relationship. I take care of you. You worship me. I feed you. I protect you. I provide for you. You can't just hit it and quit it. So if God wants a relationship, why don't we think somebody that the world can trick us into not having a relationship?
That's good. Right. That's good. Right.
You got to have a relationship. Let's be real. The problem is some of us, we get into sex so fast. And now we wonder why there's no relationship going forward, because we set the bar with no expectations. Yeah, let's be real. Most bros not gonna turn it down. Praise God. And it's a one night stand. They gonna jump to it. Amen. Most of them, because most men, sorry to say, us as men, we think with our loins instead of our logic.
Yeah, yes you do.
So his mind, he thinking, man, that was easy.
Yeah.
No expectations. I got it and I'm done. I should be able to Netflix and chill next time and do it again. Mm-hmm. But that's why some women and men are stuck, because we don't know our worth. See, if I know my worth, the expectations are already set. I said before, we wouldn't even get past the first day. But a lot of these jokers, if we set our expectations from the beginning,
right,
because we can see that they don't want, they don't have any expectations of me. They don't want a relationship. So I'm not going to waste my time.
Yep.
Trying to raise some strong brothers and strong sisters who get into healthy relationships that lead to healthy marriages, because we don't want nobody being a fool in here.
That's right.
God says, let them waters be your own and not a stranger's. This debunks that God is cool with polygamy, which is the view of having multiple wives. Because some men in the Old Testament had multiple wives. Even David had multiple wives. God said, why would you take this man's wife? You could have had any woman you wanted. Why would you take this man's wife when he only had one and kill him? But God was not cool with that. Solomon's, David's son, considered the wisest man ever, had 700 wives and 300 side chicks. Somebody said, that's too many women. I don't care who you are, what you got, amen. 1,000, that's too much. 1,000 women.
Wow.
But guess what? As wise as he was, they eventually turned his heart away from God.
Yeah.
See, God never endorsed polygamy, but he tolerated it. He tolerated it, just like God don't condone divorce, but he tolerated it. Or some of us will be stuck in some bad situation for the rest of our life.
Amen.
So God still was holding up his holy standard, but he tried to help them out, amen. Let's look at verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your new, wife of your youth. Marriage is a blessing when it's done right.
Yeah,
rejoice with the wife of your youth, which means goes further to show that evidence that God wants you to be with one woman because she's from your youth. Even Jesus talked about that God made a commitment from the beginning that the two shall become one. Not the 3, 4, 5 shall become one, but the two shall become one. So another one of the Ten Commandments suggests what? Thou should not covet is another Ten Commandments. We consider that pretty important because God said it's part of the Ten.
Yeah.
But what did he say not covet? He said don't covet your neighbor's land, don't covet your neighbor's animals, but don't covet your neighbor's wife. That is God letting us know that we should be focused on our own marriage. But see, sometimes our marriages look like this. Yeah. That's how our marriage looks sometimes. See, one of the problems is that we think the grass is greener on the other side. Our grass is brown, not taken care of, malnutrition, looking bad, need some of everything. But that grass on the other side, it sure look green, it sure look pretty, it sure look nice. But God told me to tell you this, that when you marry and your grass is brown on the other side and it's green on the other side, guess what? You take out your hose and water your own grass. Praise God. Amen. That you take your own hose and water your own grass. You take care of your grass. You nurture your grass. And it will get better. But guess what? Just because it's greener don't mean it's better. Amen. Many of people have been tricked thinking that the greener was better and end up heartbreaking. One of my favorite scenes of Why Did I Get Married is when they talk about the 80-20 rule. Y'all remember that? And he said that 80 in a marriage, you're only going to get about 80% of what you really want anyway. Because ain't nobody perfect, amen? So you're only going to get about 80. That other 20, you're not going to get. But But that 20 look mighty good when you ain't getting it. And then you mess around and throw away the 80 and get that 20. Mike did that, had a good girl that loved him, that cooked, watched him, prayed for him and everything. He went with a little young thing who looked good. All she didn't want to do was shop. And now he's hungry. Can't nobody take care of him when he had cancer. He hurt and messed up. Be careful when you in search for that 20 when you ain't getting it. How about you pray to God and say, God, help me with that 20. Help her to see the other 20 I need. And maybe to get to 85. Maybe to get to 90. 95. And maybe you will get 100. Put some prayer on that thing instead of going to creep on that thing. Amen.
Amen.
Got to be careful.
Come on. That 80-20, yes, Lord.
Because you got yes, Lord. Come on. It's real. You got to be able to pray for your spouse. Take care of them and love them. Because they not God. They ain't going to be your everything. And only some things God can help them with. So you got to pray for them. Look at this, and as you be mature, verse 19 says, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. And always be enraptured with her love. My few brothers should have said amen to that. Praise God when I get married. Praise God, let her breast satisfy thee at all times. You do marriage counseling with us, praise God. That's scripture we're going to touch on, amen. Because I don't play that, amen. Because I want your marriage to be blessed. The Bible commands us. That's why I said we get caught up and think the devil created sex. No, he didn't create it. He perverted it. It's a gift from God. He said, let her satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured by her love. Husbands, always be enraptured with her love. Your wife should be everything you wanted. Why? Because you picked her. Praise God. Amen. You picked her. You married her. You walked down that altar. You stood before that pastor. You said, I do. You repeated them vows. Why would you do all that if it ain't what you want? That makes no sense. The Bible is giving you, I mean, he ain't aligning your marriage. This ain't no put together marriage. You picking. Right. She should be everything you want. But God, look at verse 20. God doesn't want you to be enraptured by the immoral woman or immoral man.
Right.
The Bible says that anyone that touches me that is not my spouse is a strange woman. Anybody but Lady Thomas that touches me is a strange woman. Anybody that touches her beside is a strange man. And the problem is we deal with too many strange people. We're dealing with all these strangers, and now we all caught up.
Strange.
Be careful.
Yeah.
This isn't happening. Check this out. I got an analogy. I got to say this first. This isn't happening, so this is an analogy. Flow with me. But check this out. Let's just say Lady Thomas was mad at me. I made her mad. I did something that just made her so mad. And now I want to go with her. I want to make love to her. I want to sleep with my wife. And she's like, no, you made me mad. She pushed me away. 1 week go by. Okay, now she got some other issues. Family issues, mother got issues, I don't know. She dealing with other stuff, all kind of crazy stuff. So now 2 weeks go by. And now 3 weeks go by. And she keep pushing me away. She's sleeping with leggings on and sleeping with onesies on and letting me know she rolled over the other way. Don't talk to me, don't touch me, hair tied up. Y'all know y'all do. All that crazy stuff. This is crazy. She don't do it, but I'm just saying, all that crazy stuff won't let me touch her. Why do you think the devil ain't waiting to pounce on that? When your husband should be letting his wife's breast satisfy him all the times, how can you send him out into this world starving?
Wow.
Your husband got needs too.
That's good.
Why would you send him out into this house, into the world starving? One thing you know, and this is me as pastor, I got to protect my anointing.
Yeah.
I got to guard myself differently. Because what I want to be all God has called me to be. And I don't know what he's going to do, but I know I got to guard myself.
Yeah.
And historically, what are two things that always get men caught up? Money and women. Those are the two things that always get men caught up that bring us downfall. We got influence, we got power, and God wants to do things in our life and make a difference, and God wants to do this. Our integrity gets messed up by women and money. So you got to learn how to guard yourself and protect your anointing. So since I can only make love to one woman, that one woman got to hook me up. She's Thomas gotta hook me up. I only got one shot at this. I only got one woman. She can't send me out the house starving.
Right.
So once you get married, you must understand your body don't belong to yourself. That the husband's body belongs to the wife and the wife's body belongs to the husband. Some of this stuff that happened, yeah, that the man might have messed up and he shouldn't have did it, but I believe God gonna get on the woman too because you see him out starving.
Right.
It's a whole smorgasbord out there. And you send them out here starving. Take care of your man. Take care of your husband. This is biblical. And God wants you to go somewhere and be happy and faithful in your marriage. Amen. Let's look at this. Last verses. For the ways of the man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. God sees everything, y'all.
Yeah, he does.
We can act like he don't. We can think he don't, but God sees everything. But I noticed this. He said he ponders our paths.
Yeah.
That means he's showing mercy.
Yeah. Right.
God, look at that. I said, you're going the wrong way. I'm giving you time to repent. I'm giving you time to change that thing. He ponders our paths. But if we don't look at our path and make some change, the Bible is clear that that we get trapped by our own iniquities and the cords of our own sin will catch us. So think about this. If someone's going to be an adulterer, if you're going to commit, if somebody's going to be an adulterer and goes around and sleeping with somebody else and not your spouse, guess what? You're going to have to be a liar too. You got to justify where you've been. Amen. You're going to be a liar too because you have to justify. So if you keep stringing yourself this web of deception, you're going to eventually hang yourself. And then think about this. The person that I'm going to commit adultery with, if they cool with me coming over there creeping and sneaking all the time, how much integrity could they really have? Because do you really care? How can you care about me when you know I have a wife and a children and all this at home, and you cool with me coming through sliding by for an hour and kicking me out and just going back living your life? Do you really have any integrity? So we got to be careful.
Good.
If you're committing adultery, stop.
Period.
I don't want you to die. Praise God. Amen. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die literally, and I don't want you to die hypothetically as well.
Yeah,
I don't want your life to be destroyed.
Yeah.
But I'm a pastor, and I'm going to keep it real because I know adultery is ground for divorce. The Bible says if someone's committed adultery, you can get divorced, but that don't always mean you have to. If you can forgive and move on and love that person and build up a relationship, and God can, I believe God can fix anything, amen. But it doesn't mean you have to, but you could. But please understand this. Check this out, though. If that person don't stop cheating, you better leave them. If they don't stop, you better leave them, because guess what? It's something called age. And I refuse my position as a pastor to tell you to stay with somebody that keep on sleeping around. Stay with somebody that keep on doing that. And then guess what? Now I got to do two funerals and the kids ain't got nobody.
It's real.
Because I told you to stay with somebody that didn't want to honor their covenant.
It's real.
No. You got to leave them. Guess what the Bible says in Corinthians? It says this, that God has called you to peace. If they want to leave, let them leave. Praise God. Which God says that your marriage might be destroyed, but I'll give you your peace back. Praise God. That might be over with. That season's over with in your life, but I'm here to give you new peace.
Amen.
They want to leave, bid them goodbye. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You got to go.
Yes.
Now I'm going to use some pastoral privilege right here. And because we got the emergency room going on, because I know we've been dealing with a lot of hard issues and tough subjects. And I'm going to say something. I want you to understand that this is real. Just as a pastor dealing with people and seeing the effects things has in life. If you cheated and you need to tell somebody, tell me, don't tell your spouse.
That's good.
What, pastor?
That's
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
If you just got to tell somebody, come talk to me, but don't tell your spouse. Why? Because they happy. They happy. You're going to have to go to God and bear that problem. Because guess what? I got to tell them, and you tell them, so who can feel better?
You.
Now that's selfishness. And selfishness got you in that mess to begin with. Now you have to go to God and bear that cross and bear that problem. But you going to tell them ain't going to help them. Sure. I'm telling y'all now, if Lady Thomas cheating on me, don't tell me. Praise God. Amen. I'm happy. I'm living my life. We got a great marriage. Everything. She cheating on me. Don't nobody tell me. Amen. I'm happy in my own corner. I'm living my life. And I know she wouldn't. I'm just playing, y'all. But I'm just saying that don't put them problems somebody else. Now, if you tell me, I'm here to help you and dust you off and clean you off and get right.
Yeah.
But if you keep on, I'm going to tell.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I ain't got time to deal with AIDS.
Right.
I ain't got time to deal with no heartache and pain, because you don't want to be committed to your spouse.
Right. That's real.
And God might kill you on top of that. Praise God. Amen. So as we come to the close and dealing with adultery is something that's plagued this nation and has plagued us, but it's not the unforgivable sin. It's not saying that you've done that, that you're just the worst person ever. Everybody's made mistakes. It's told you King David was a man after God's own heart. Not only did he commit adultery, but he killed the girl's husband. But he repented. with a clean heart and say, God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me. I'm sorry. I did this evil. Only in your sight I did this evil, God. Now I need you to fix me. So while we may not have committed adultery with a person, sometimes we committed spiritual adultery. Yeah. We're giving ourselves to other gods and other people and put them on a pedestal as unto God. We made little idols and little G's in our lives. Yeah. So I don't know where you stand in the need of or where you at with that, but I do know this. God loves you and he's married to that backslider. That just chips me out. That people have messed up. God said Israel was doing whatever they wanted to do. They kept leaving me, kept leaving me, kept leaving me. I kept loving them. They kept leaving me. I kept loving them, kept leaving me. And as long as they came back to me, I came back to them.
Yeah.
Because he married. God takes marriage seriously. That's why God wants us to take marriage seriously. Because it's for better or for worse. Sickness and health and to death do us part. So if you know, I need to get somewhere with God. I'm not where me and God should be at right now. I need God in my life. Me and God ain't where we need to be. I need his love. I need his salvation. I need this from God. Make a decision for God today. God's come to love you. God's come to pick you up. God comes to show you that he cares. And if you know you need Jesus, let today be your day.